Welcome to the Life Melbourne podcast. We're so glad you're joining us for another hope-filled message. We pray that you're encouraged by this powerful word from our Sunday service.
How are we doing today? And I just thought it'd be actually great just to take a moment. I really felt as I was sitting on my seat there before, just to lift up the things in our lives that we need Jesus to move in. You know, I love every morning when we come into church, we pray together as a family. And our youngest son, Ezekiel, he's 5 years old. He will often pray and he'll say, Jesus, I just pray that at Kids Church today, you help all of us to listen to our leaders. God, I pray that you would help me not to be on the machine the entire time. God, I pray that you would help me to listen. And he just brings his concerns to God. God, help me today. And I love that that represents who our God is. He's a loving Father. And he wants to hear our concerns. He cares about you. Scripture says that he wants to carry the weight of your concerns. So come on, why don't we just lift up our concerns to him right now? God, I thank you that you are the God that carries us. God, I thank you that you are the one that loves us so much. And we just bring our concerns to you right now, the things that weigh on us. Because God, you don't want us to carry them on our own. You are a loving Father who comes alongside us, who lifts us when we're weary, who gives us strength when we feel like we can't keep going. God, you provide the provision that we need when we need it. God, you are the miracle worker, Father, that we don't have to fight on our own, but you are the one fighting with us. And I just pray right now that you'd lift the weight of concern. God, that there'd be a fresh peace, a fresh joy that would fill our hearts as we focus our attention on you. In the name of Jesus, everybody said, amen. Come on, why don't you thank our incredible team. So we are in a theme for this year of The One. And if you missed our Empower Sunday, where our senior pastor, Pastor Luke, brought what he really feels that God is speaking to us as a church about, I really encourage you to go back and listen to that message. But this whole theme that we feel God is talking to us about the One. And Pastor Luke asked these two questions. Are we following the One, Jesus, the only Lord, the only God? And then also, who is our One? Who is the one that we're believing for? Who are the people in our world that need Jesus? Who are we called to disciple? Who are we called to reach? And I'm excited about that theme because I feel God stirring us in a new way to reach others around us, stirring us to be not just about ourselves, not just about our lives, but about reaching the world around us. And if you didn't get a card that Sunday where we wrote down people's names, I encourage you to go to the information desk and our team will be able to get one of those cards to you. And we stand believing for those people, believing that they'd come to Easter, believing that they would come to know the wonder of who our God is. But today I want to dovetail the theme of what God is saying and speak this message called, Where's Your Concern? Where's Your Concern? So Holy Spirit, I pray right now that you would speak to us. God, I pray right now that we would hear your words, not my words. That you would speak to our hearts, that you would challenge us where we need challenging. God, that you would enlarge us, grow us. God, I pray that right now we wouldn't be distracted about what else is going on in our lives or what we're doing next, but we'd present ourselves right here to hear from you. Because God, I thank you that your word never returns void. We thank you for the power of your word and we pray that it'd change us. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Well, today we're going to go to the book of Jonah. And Jonah was a prophet that was called to preach God's word. A lot of us know the story of Jonah. He was asked by God to speak to the people of Nineveh about the goodness of who he was and also the fact that if they didn't repent from their ways that he was going to come and destroy them. And so Jonah is given this task, but he's not happy about the task because he's all about the Israelites. And the people in Nineveh are the enemies of Israel. And so he's not happy about the task that God gives him. So he tries to run. But we can never run away from God. His presence is wherever we go. And we know the story of he goes out on a ship, there's a big storm that comes, and then he ends up being tossed overboard to calm the storm, and a massive fish comes and swallows him, and he's in the fish for 3 days, and then the fish goes to shore and vomits Jonah out onto the shore, and Jonah finally says, okay, God, I'm going to obey you. And he goes to the people of Nineveh, and he tells them that they need to repent, that they need to turn from their wicked ways. And the incredible thing is that they end up listening to God. They end up repenting. But Jonah isn't happy about this because he wanted his enemies burnt. Jonah is not in a good place. And so we're going to pick it up in Jonah 4, verse 1 to 11. And it says, but to Jonah, this seemed very wrong, that the people in Nineveh were going to be saved. And he became angry, and he prayed to the Lord, isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? This is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you were a gracious and a compassionate God, slow to anger, abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live. Jonah's very in touch with his feelings. But the Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry? Jonah had gone out and sat down in a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow over Jonah to give shade for his head to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die. Again, he's quite emotional. And he said, it would be better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? And he said, it is. I'm so angry, I wish I were dead. But the Lord said, you've been concerned about this plant, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals? So Jonah has got himself in this place where he's very worked up. He's angry at God because God isn't moving the way he wants him to move. He's not responding the way Jonah wants him to respond. And God challenges him about where his concern is. He says to him, Jonah, you've got your concern in the wrong place. You're concerned about the plant rather than people. Jonah, get your concern straight. And we can read that concern, that passage, and think, Jonah, you were so off base. What were you thinking? But if we're to be honest today, many of us are living for the concern of the plant rather than concern of people. See, the plant represents what's about our comfort. The plant represents what's about what's in it for me. The plant represents what's about my convenience. The plant represents what's about my pleasure and my plans and what I want to do with my life. The plant represents my reputation. It represents the things that I want to chase in life. It represents the things that I want to pursue to make myself happy. Where people represent God's concern. We have a God that loves his children. Every single one of us, whether we believe in him or whether we don't, we're his children. We're his son, we're his daughter, and he loves you so very much. You were created by him, and God's concern, his heartbeat, is his people. God's heart beats for us. It beats for us to be in relationship with him. It beats for us to know his freedom. It beats for us to know his joy, his peace, to walk with his Holy Spirit, to know him intimately. The heartbeat of our God, it comes back to people. And we need to ask ourselves, where's our concern? Is it in a plant or is it in people? Is our concern about our concerns or about God's concern? Because we have a God that wants us to align our concerns with what concerns his heart. See, I love Mark 16, verse 15, the Great Commission. In the Message Version, it says, go into the world, Jesus speaking to us, not just to his disciples, but to us. Go everywhere. Announce the message of God's good news to one and to all. And this isn't just a statement that Jesus is giving us, so guys, you better do this. No, it represents his heart. It represents his concern that all would know my goodness, that all would know the wonder of who I am, the wonder of what I did on the cross, the wonder of rising again from the cross, that I have victory for every single one of us, that I have life, that I have wholeness, that sense of, guys, get the good news out. I love what 2 Peter 3 verse 9 says. Don't overlook the obvious here, friends. With God, one day is as good as 1,000 years. 1,000 years is a day. God isn't late with his promises, some measure in lateness. He is restraining himself on account of you, holding back the end because he doesn't want anyone lost. He's giving everyone space and time to change. Come on, his heart is that not one would be lost. Do our hearts represent that concern? Do our hearts represent that concern of God that not one would be lost? See, Luke 12, verse 29 to 32. Jesus is speaking here to the people and he says, what I'm trying to do, get you to do here is to relax. Not be so preoccupied with getting so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over all these things, talking about what we eat, what we wear, the things of this world. But you know both God and how he works. Steep yourself in God reality, God initiative, God provisions, and you'll find your everyday human concerns will be met. Don't be afraid of missing out. You're my dearest friends. The Father wants to give you the very kingdom itself. How profound is that? That God has this influence that he wants us to step into, where our concerns aren't about everything going on around us, that we reduce our lives to the small limitation. No, he wants us to step into his kingdom purpose. Well, we're on fire for him. We're on mission for him. Well, we're about seeing others all around us hear the good news of who our God is. We're on purpose for his kingdom. And again, man, Jesus is so challenging. Another part of scripture challenges Peter. And Peter is saying to him, Jesus, don't talk about your death. It's not going to happen to you. And Jesus rolls him. Matthew 16, verse 32. Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind, I want us to hear this, you do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. Then Jesus says to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. Profound. When we actually align our lives to his concern, we end up finding life and life in all its fullness. But when we try and control everything ourselves, when we try and live small lives that are just about our concerns, we actually miss out on the life that God has for us. Church, we want to be a church that's living for his concern, living out of devotion to him, out of respect, out of honor for him, completely in love with him and out of that loving people wherever we go because his concern is our concern. So what I want to do today is look at living with a God concern. What it means to live with a God concern. And the first thing, it commits to proximity with people. It commits to proximity with people. You know, Jonah was not connected to any of the people in Nineveh. He did not care whether they died. He just had this, detachment from people. You know, when it comes to Jesus, he wants us to be connected to people, especially people that do not know him. For it to be personal for us, that Great Commission, it's a personal commission for each and every one of us. Not just to go out to the entire world, but the world represents our friends, our neighbors, our work colleagues. It should become personal. And I was reminded about this the other night, and Ezekiel, our youngest son again, there was a spider, the huntsman came into our bathroom. How crazy are all the insects at the moment with the heat in Melbourne coming into our homes? It's just nuts. So we had this huge huntsman come into our bathroom, and I locked it in there for the day, and I was like, Craig is going to deal with that when he gets home. And so Craig came home that afternoon, but Easy and him decided that they wanted to keep this pet spider, which I was not in the negotiation of at all and was very not pleased about. And so they made this container and put like leaves in this container. We had this huntsman sitting on our kitchen bench next to Easy as he had his dinner. And Easy is just so pumped to have this pet spider. And then the next thing, Craig decides the spider needs dinner as well. So went out to the garden and Googled, found out that they like cockroaches. So went out to the garden to find a cockroach, and then found a cockroach and put the cockroach into the container as well. And so Easy is watching this take place, and he's excited because his pet spider is going to have dinner, the cockroach. But as he's watching it, it dawns on him that the cockroach doesn't want to be eaten. It kind of dawns on him what's going to take place. He sees the cockroach hiding behind the branches and not wanting to get killed by the huntsman's spider. And so all of a sudden it clicks and he starts crying. He comes to me sobbing his little heart out. He's like, Mum, I don't want to see the cockroach die. And I'm like, Craig had gone by then. I was like, buddy, the only thing we can do is to set them both free. The only way that they're going to have life is that we set them free out the backyard. Why don't we do it, buddy? He's like, tears. Yes, Mum, the cockroach can't die. So we took them out the back, set them free. That was the end of that. Still in the garden somewhere, though, that plagues me at night. But there was that moment of when he could see, when it was personal for him. All of a sudden it dawned. Ah, I don't want that to take place. Guys, we're called to be close to people, that we would know the heartbreak that's going on in people's lives, that we would know the internal workings of what's going on in people's lives, that our heart would break for people, that we wouldn't be in our little Christian bubble that was so separated from the world around us, that we're not close to people, up alongside people, seeing what's going on in their world, helping to bring Jesus into the middle of it. We're not called to be in our Christian bubble. And I was doing some reading the past few weeks, and part of my reading was looking at the Holocaust and how many people were part of seeing millions and millions of Jews absolutely murdered. And off the back of that, there was a study that was conducted of how many seemingly good people decided that they were part of that Holocaust, the mutilation of Jews. And this study was done by Milgram, who was a famous psychologist in 1961, trying to get to the bottom of how it could take place. And he had 120 volunteers who were part of three different groups. Each group had to administer shocks to volunteers if they got the answers to the questions wrong, but they weren't actually volunteers, they were actors who were pretending that they were getting shocked. And the shocks ranged from slight, moderate, strong, very strong, intense, extremely intense, danger, severe shock, to the last one meaning death. And the first variation of the experiment was the volunteer being in the same room as the actor who was being shocked, and they had to place the actor's hand onto the shock plate. And there was a scientist overseeing the process, and the volunteer complained about what they had to do. The scientist would simply respond that it was essential for them to continue for the sake of the experiment. And in this part of the experiment, 70% of the volunteers quit the experiment without going very far at all. But the second variation of the experiment involved the volunteer being in the same room as the actor that they were administering to the shocks to. They could see the reactions of the shocks, but they weren't asked to place the hand of the actors onto the shock pad. For this one, 60% of the volunteers quit the experiment without going very far. But this is profound. The third variation involved the volunteer being in a separate room to the actor while the volunteer administered shocks. So the volunteer couldn't see the impact of their shocks they were administering at all. This time, the results were shocking, with 65% of the volunteers able to go through the entire process, reaching for the final switch with the intent to kill someone. They would be sweating, nervous, asking the scientists for the experiment not to continue, but they would still go ahead with what was being asked. The results showed that the more abstract people became, the less concerned they were about their well-being. How abstract is the world to us today? How separated are we from others around us that we don't feel their pain? That we're so in our Christian bubble of what God is doing in our lives, concerned about the things that are close to our world, but we don't live with the concern that has our God's heart. How easy is it for us just to get in our own little world, our own bubble, doing family, doing church, doing group, all the things that we need, but we're not intentional with being close to those that do not know Jesus. Guys, we've got to get out of the Christian bubble. We've got to reach people. There are people all around us who desperately need Jesus. People all around us who need to know the wonder of our God, and we've got to get out of our bubble. We've got to be reaching people, close to people, in proximity to people, because as we do that, God reveals His goodness through our lives and through their lives. See, reaching people, it's what fuels our faith. There's nothing like reaching people that stirs you in your faith. I have a beautiful friend of mine. She's a very close friend that I've known from prep. Our son started prep together, and I've done many years with her. And the greatest delight for me now is to see her in church every week. She's now part of Alpha. The conversations that I have with her, they're fuel to my soul. Nothing comes close to stirring my faith in those kind of interactions, because that's what we were born for. We were born to see people led to Jesus. But so often we get wrapped up in our concerns rather than reflecting the Father's concerns. We need to reflect our Father's concerns, because that's what fuels us. So often I hear people, well, not often, used to be more the case, saying things like, I need deeper teaching, which speaks of this need for more inspiration. And I would say the issue isn't the need for deeper teaching. The greatest inspiration we can have is going out and telling somebody about the goodness of our God. Actually activating our faith. Actually activating what God has called us to. Actually living with the Great Commission in mind. Guys, we don't need any more inspiration. We actually just need to live in obedience and to answer the call that God has given us to be the hope that the world is looking for. Another thing that I think in the world today that keeps us abstract from people is social media. Not just the time that it takes away and the time it distracts us from, but the fact that we get so wrapped up in the concerns of the world. We get wrapped up in politics in America and the economy and all these other things that are happening around the world, wars that are going on. And yes, there is concern with all that stuff, but it robs us of the people that are right in front of us, reaching those that God has entrusted to us today, and all of our concerns about all the stuff that actually you can't really do anything about, but there's somebody at work that God's put there for you to reach, for you to minister to, for you to reveal the goodness of God to. Let's stop being about all this other stuff and be present where God has called us to be present. Activating our faith, being fired up for Jesus. There's nothing that stirs our faith than living on purpose like God has called us to. Is this making sense today? The second thing is concern goes beyond what is required to what is reflected. It goes beyond what is required to what is reflected. See, Jonah did what God required, but missed reflecting God's heart in the middle of it. And so often with our Christianity, we can be about, what God, what do you require of me? Really, if we're to be honest, it's like, what's the minimal, God, that I can get away with? Like, how do you want me to live for you where it's still convenient for me? Like, how do you want me to live for you where it can still be about my comfort? And God's like, God, we're getting it all wrong. Following Jesus is this wholehearted devotion. When we pursue Him, when we follow Him, and as we follow Him, He changes us. We start to reflect Him. Christianity is not about behavior modification. It's about heart transformation. As we follow Him, He changes us from the inside out. We start to talk like Him. We start to think like Him. We start to bear His heartbeat for people because we're following Him and we're in His presence. And as we're pursuing Him, our heart breaks for people because we're reflecting His heart. Christianity isn't about ticking a box with the requirements we need to do. No, it's living a life of devotion to Jesus. And as we do that, He changes us and we reflect Him more and more through our lives. See, again, I was reading a few weeks ago about the sinking of the Titanic. And a lot of us know that the Titanic only carried a quarter of the lifeboats that were needed for all on board, only 16, which meant that only a quarter of the passengers survived the sinking of the ship. And you know, today we can think, man, how did that take place? But it was actually the current day regulations. The Titanic carried the lifeboats that they were required by law for them to carry. And the crazy thing was that they knew the regulations were going to be updated, so they made more room on the deck for more lifeboats. But because of the expense of more lifeboats, they weren't prepared to pay the cost. Going beyond what's required takes an extra cost. As a church, we've heard it from Pastor Craig, we're called to be an aircraft carrier. Carry more people than we've ever carried before. But we're not going to be able to do that if we're not prepared to pay the cost. The cost of following Jesus. The cost of pursuing Him. The cost of not my convenience, but God, Your concerns. I don't want to be just about my life, but God, I want to be about Your life and being prepared to pay the cost for it. And as we pay that cost, as we pursue Him, as we place Him as number one in our lives, we find that all other concerns are taken care of anyway. See, it's not just saying yes to Jesus on our terms. It's saying yes to Jesus on His terms. What's He asking of me? He's not just my Savior. No, He's my Lord. I'm following Him. I'm being obedient to Him. And I love Mother Teresa, and she talks about a call within a call and how she had this call to follow God. But as she was traveling through India one day, she had another call, and this call was to serve the people of India. And she talks about this day being Jesus' thirst for love and for souls took hold of her heart. The desire to satisfy His thirst became the driving force of her life. And she said this after she had that experience where she just surrendered to Jesus afresh. And she said, "By blood, I am Albanian. By citizenship, an Indian. By faith, I am a Catholic nun. As to my calling, I belong to the world. As to my heart, I belong entirely to the heart of Jesus." How beautiful is that? That we would be able to say, "Jesus, my heart is Yours entirely. I want to be that living sacrifice, and because of that, I belong to the world. I belong to what has Your heart, Your concerns. I want to live with my eyes focused on Your purpose and Your plans." What an incredible God we have. The third thing is that living for a concern, a God concern, it carries the concern together, not in isolation. Jonah was isolated, and because of it, he turned pretty weird, wanting to see the entire city of Nineveh destroyed. And it's amazing, when we're in isolation, it's not healthy for us. And about you, there's that show Alone, where they follow people, they put people on like a deserted island for like, and see how long they can last for. And people, they turn crazy, because we're not meant to be alone. And when it comes to our faith, we're meant to do our faith together, with each other, fighting for each other, standing with each other. When it comes to reaching the world, we need others around us to stir our faith. I love Hebrews 10, verse 24 to 25. Says, "Let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works, not neglecting the meeting together as some are in the habit of, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." We're called to stand together. And our groups, to be asking each other, "Hey, how's it going with reaching people? How's it going with our one, the person that we're called to reach?" Standing together and fighting for each other. You know, I love the Spartan warriors. You know, the movie 300, it wasn't my gig. I hate blood. I end up fainting at the sight of blood, so I didn't watch it. But the movie 300, it's based on Spartan warriors. I've got a picture of them to show. There they are. They were known for their fierceness in battle, these Spartan warriors. But the power of the army didn't come from the sharpness of their swords. It came from the strength of their shields. Losing one's shield in battle was the single highest crime a soldier could commit. Spartans excused without penalty the soldier who lost a helmet or breastplate in battle, but a soldier who lost a shield lost all citizenship rights. Why? A warrior carries helmet and breastplate for his own protection, but a shield for the safety of the whole line. And I love that, because as Christians, we're called to stand together with our shield of faith, not just on our own, but standing right along next to each other, holding that line, advancing against the enemy, taking territory for our God, advancing into what God has called us to, because we are warriors in battle and we're holding our shield of faith strong. See, it would be way, if we did go on to the next slide, it's way better to be part of the army than the single dude there just on his own. He's not going to take any territory on his own. But that kind of army, mate, you would not want to mess with them. That's the army that God's called us to be. We're together in our groups, praying with each other, standing in faith with each other. Come on, let's get in our group. Let's activate our faith and let's stand for the miracles that God has for us. The fourth thing is concern extends grace over judgment. It extends grace over judgment. How easy is it for us to judge people? Mate, it's easy. I remember before I was a parent, I'd be so judgmental of parents. Like, why do you let your kid do that? You know, I'd see parents that have like a leash around their kid. Like, why? It just makes your kid look like an animal. Like, why do that? But now that I'm a parent, I'm like, they're amazing. What incredible inventions. We should invent them for teenagers. Like, you just know where your teenagers are at all times. And it could have a special thing where their hands are like tied to their side so they can't have a phone at the same time. Like, profound. But it's so easy to judge. You know what? When it comes to our faith, it's so easy to judge where others are at and what God is doing in them. It's so easy to judge people. Oh, they wouldn't be open to God. Oh, it's not quite the right God timing for them. And we judge people when we're actually called not to judge, we're called to extend grace. We are channels for God's grace to move through. Imagine if we saw every opportunity as a lens for God's grace to move. God, if you did it for me, you can do it for them. But like Jonah, man, he forgot the grace of God that had been extended to him. He knew the character of God so much that his biff was got with God was, God, I know you're a God of love, of compassion, of mercy. I know you relent at sending calamity. Yet he still didn't extend God's grace to others. See, we can know the character of God, but we can still not reflect it to others. How many of us see ourselves as conduit of God's grace? If God did it for me, he can do it for them. God, move through them. God, use me. Use me as a vessel for you to reveal the wonder of who you are to others. And the fifth thing we're going to end on this, close on this, is we allow God to bring heart transformation. We cannot force a God concern. It's God who does it in us. A God who changes our heart for others, because we start to see others as God's children, as the ones that he died for, as the ones that he loved, that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes would know him. And our hearts can only be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit moving through us. By again saying, God, I need you to transform me. I need to reflect your heart for your kids. And I walked into our basketball match for our oldest son yesterday. And there was this mum that was on the sideline that was so concerned with the game. She had her hand over her mouth, just so invested into the game. We walked in and she glared at us because Ezekiel was bouncing the ball side of court. She's like, how dare someone else bounce their ball when my kid is playing? She was just in the zone, kind of a little bit like me when I watch my kids. But I looked at that and I was like, mate, her concern is so there because it's her kid. Would we see others as our God's kids? See people through the lens of our Father. Holy Spirit, would you change us? Ezekiel talks about how God promises to take our heart of stone and make it a heart of flesh. How He's the one that changes us into His image, that He's the one that gives us His concern. So as we close today, I just want us to have a minute with God. We just allow Him to transform us. Allow Him to give us His concern for others, to take off the weight of our own concerns and to say, God, I want to have Your concern for others. God, help me to see people as You see them. Help me to reach people how You want me to reach them. God, give me Your concern for others. So why don't we stand to our feet? The team's going to lead us, and as they lead us, just allow God to do heart transformation right now. So Jesus, we just come before You and we just ask You right now to transform us. God, change us from the inside out. God, we don't want to be vessels, Lord, that are about just us and our world. But God, grow us, enlarge us. God, let our concern reflect Your concern. God, let our heart reflect Your heart for others. God, I pray that You'd breathe upon us right now. Take our heart of flesh, God, our heart that's concerned for the things that maybe don't concern Your heart. God, I pray, change us. Change us, Holy Spirit, we pray. Jesus, we just pray that You would change us. God, that more and more our heart would reflect Your heart. God, let our concerns be Your concerns. God, we know we can't do it in our own strength, that You are the one that brings that transformation in our lives. So we just ask You to lead us. We just devote our lives to You afresh and just say, have Your way. We surrender. We are living sacrifices for You to use. In the name of Jesus, everybody said, amen. Now, just as we close the service today, I'd love to give anybody the opportunity to pray a prayer that begins a journey with God, that allows Jesus to be your personal Lord and personal Savior. I'm not talking about joining a religion, but opening your heart to the wonder of a relationship with a God that so loves you, a God that so believes in you, a God that is so for you. And then if you're here today and you've never had the opportunity to say, Jesus, I want You to be my Lord and my God. I'm sorry for my wrongs and I want to start a journey, a relationship with knowing You as my Savior, knowing You as my Lord, knowing You as my God. Then today what we're going to do is we're going to pray a prayer just where you're standing today. And that prayer starts that relationship with Jesus Christ. Or maybe you once had that relationship, but you know you've got caught up in other things and Jesus isn't your Lord today. And today you want to pray a prayer recommitting your life to Him of saying, you know what, God, I want to follow You. I want to pursue You, Jesus. I'm done with the old. I want to make a change in following You because, hey, that's what life is all about, eternity. There is more to this life than just the natural things that we see right now. There is an eternity with Jesus that we are entering into. So if you're today, you're saying, you know what, I want to have Jesus as my personal Lord, my personal Savior. While every eye is closed right now, just to give people a private moment with Him. For all those that are online with us today, this is for you as well. You can lift your hand in your bedroom, in your lounge room. But if you're saying today, I want to pray that prayer, starting a relationship with Jesus Christ, having Him as my Lord and my Savior. Why don't you right now lift your hand to heaven and say, yeah, that's me. I want to pray that prayer today in this auditorium today. And why don't you lift those hands up, say, yeah, that's me today. I know I need to get my relationship with Jesus right today. For all those that are online, that's for you as well, just lifting your hands. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Fantastic. It's awesome. God sees you. God loves you so much. Come on, why don't we all pray this prayer together? It's especially for those that put up their hand. Why don't you pray this? Jesus, I ask You into my life. I ask You to be my God, to be my Lord. I'm sorry for my wrongs, from the things that have separated me from You. I want a new start in you. I want to know your love. I want to know your joy. I want to know your peace. And I want to reflect you, Jesus. I want to be changed from the inside out. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Come on, why don't we give a hand to those that made that decision, the best decision that you could possibly make.
We trust that you were encouraged by this powerful message. You always have a place to call home here at Life. And we invite you to join us for our Sunday services at our Melbourne campus. If you're not in Melbourne, then join us for church online, wherever you are in the world. Just head to lifeau.org to stay connected and find out more.